Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Today we're going to do an episode looking at discernment, listening to God's voice, but making sure that we aren't presuming. And we're going to look at scripture. Now, maybe we'll talk about some examples. I have a few of my brothers with me today. We'll go around, let them introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm David.
I'm Braden.
I'm Lavarius.
And welcome. And I'm Sam, as mentioned earlier. So why don't we go ahead and open up in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I do thank you that we can gather together. Father, I thank you that it is your Spirit that changes us, that transforms us into a new creation. Father, you are the one that does the work, just as you did your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that you guide us today in the conversation and your word. And Father, I command evil to flee, as we know the enemy is always seeking to create confusion, to steal the word of God that is planted in people's mind, and also to plant thoughts that are contrary, where he takes your word and he twists it. Father, I pray as we go through your word, that your word will expose any lies or deceptions that people currently have in their mind, where they have some of the truth, but not the whole truth, or the purity of it. Bless this time, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, gentlemen, I think to start, really looking at Jesus is a really good example. And after we look at Jesus, I think we'll look at a simple example of Peter and how well Peter fared. And we'll also look at Abraham. And we kind of talked a little bit about that this morning. And we'll just see how it goes. And we'll probably do more than one episode on this. So we'll try to keep the episode shorter. So starting off in John. Now we know Jesus. You know, he was a son of God. He was sinless, he had a pure heart, and he had the fullness of the Spirit of God abiding in him. And even though he had the same weakness of this body of flesh, what was he able to do?
Overcome.
That's right, Lavarius. He was able to overcome. Kind of like when you look at Romans chapter 8, it says, for that reason, we really have no excuse. I mean, once we've also been forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness and filled with all the fullness of God, Scripture says we're to walk just like he walked. So looking at Jesus in John chapter 14, if you guys want to turn to John chapter 14, looking at Jesus when he was speaking to Philip, Jesus talked about whose words he was speaking. Lavarius, if you want to read verse 10 and... let's go verse 10 and 11.
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves.
Go ahead and read verse 12 as well.
Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father.
Amen. So when you look at that, now whose words does Jesus say he's speaking?
The Father's.
The Father's. Whose works is he doing, David?
The Father's work.
The Father's work. And yet it goes on to say that we're also to be doing those same works. You know, just as Jesus was one with the Father, as you keep reading in John chapter 14 and reemphasize again in John chapter 17, it says that we're to be one with the Father, one with the Christ. No difference. Now, to speak the words and to do the works, that means you must be hearing from God. And we know that the Spirit of God communicates. You know, when you look at that principle, and you say, well, where does Scripture tell us how we are to know, or how can someone know the thoughts of God? I mean, if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, I mean, and do the works of God and listen to Him and His voice, I mean, obviously we have the Word of God. So the Word of God will give us some direction, but there may be times when God says, be still and not move. You can read the Bible and say, oh, I'm to go evangelize. What if God for that moment has you being still, but you go and evangelize? The devil can convict you and put thoughts in your mind to go do what appear to be good works, and it could be contrary to what God's desire. So how do we know the thoughts of God if we're seeking to have discernment, to walk in His ways? Any passages come to mind?
Go before God.
Well, so we can go before the Father. I mean, right? God equips His church. Specifically, if you look at, to your point, David, 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, you know, it talks about, it's contrasting, you know, the difference between tongues and prophecy, but in chapter 14, verse 3, what does it say with respect to prophecy?
It says, let the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, exhortation, and consultation.
Okay, so edification, to exhort them, and to also console them. And when you go through and you look at like the gift of prophecy, now, you know, the gift of prophecy is God directly speaking, you know, dictated words, you know, to do those things. And he speaks it to the individual in the body, that member, which he has given that gift. And that's why, as you continue to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about that when you're assembled, those who have a prophecy, they're to take turns. And, you know, they're to speak one by one. I'm reading now verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets. And so it does have the principle there. And, you know, as Ephesians talks about, as God gives gifts, you know, first it says He gives apostles, then prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, preachers. And, you know, prophet is right up there. Because it's a very important spiritual gift. So now, to your point, David, as you know, we as a group of men, when we gather, we at least make sure we gather once a week, and we use the members of our body who have the gift of prophecy to go and get specific edification, exhortation, and consolation from the Father. But absent of engaging a member of the body with the gift of prophecy, how else do you hear or know from the Father? What other things come to mind? Because everybody is to have discernment. Now, some may have different levels of discernment, but it's to be able to hear and to listen. Now, one passage that comes to mind for me is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As I say that, some of you may be going, ah, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about who can know the thoughts of man. But it doesn't just stop there, right? It goes beyond that. Braden, for 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you will read for us. Verse 10. Through verse 13.
But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things.
Yeah. And so when you look at that principle, just as no one knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, now we also know that, that God in his spirit can know the thoughts of man because you know, God says he judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart of all people. But with respect to God, it says no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, just like man. But then he says we also can. How was that again?
Conviction. He says on the thoughts of God.
Well, yeah, because it was in verse 12. Right? The key was in verse 12.
The Spirit.
That's right, the Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, if we have truly been born again, or spiritually baptized with Christ, or received the spiritually circumcised heart. The Bible talks about it different ways. If that truly has happened, now many people think that has happened. We'll have to do an episode on that where you guys can share your experiences where you were convinced that it had happened in your life, because a lot of people don't realize that God, the only way to pull and draw somebody out of darkness is as they go through that progression of from darkness to an infinite Christ, actually being born again and receiving the Spirit of God, light has to work in their life. But sadly, many people believe that when they experience those encounters with God and his Spirit, they just assume or presume that it was something more than it actually was. And we're actually going to be talking about that today with discernment, because many people have ruined their lives because of presumption. Because of presumption. So in this case, it's by having the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible talks about how we're to be led by the Spirit of God. You say, well, how do you be led by the Spirit of God? It's through the convictions. And discerning those convictions to know, are they of God or are they are not? Many people just automatically assume if I have a conviction that seems holy and righteous and good, therefore it is of God. Well, what are they forgetting?
Don't have the Holy Spirit.
Well, so some people may not realize they don't have the Holy Spirit, but is the Spirit of God the only thing that's at work in a person's mind?
Mm-mm.
Lavarius, who else is trying to work in people's minds?
Satan, the enemy.
The enemy. Just as the Spirit of God can lead people and convict them, Satan is always trying to. Look at the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Did Satan not use and quote God's word, but twist and distort to deceive Eve? And his work just doesn't stop there. So as we look at this, I want to go back to Matthew and just go through and look at different examples. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Now, we know that for the disciples, we did an episode on the disciples. Don't be like the disciples before they receive the Holy Spirit. You can listen to that. If you actually carefully look through Scripture and examine it, you'll realize that the disciples did not receive the Holy Spirit until after Pentecost. Now, that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God wasn't working in them and around them. It just they hadn't yet been spiritually baptized yet. Now, even though they did that, the Spirit of God was still revealing things. Do you remember when Peter or when Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that I am? Anybody remember his answer?
Magician.
Messiah.
Or the Christ.
I thought he was talking about the people like who were misled. He was asking about that.
Well, yeah. So he was asking, who do the people say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am?
Oh, okay.
And so Peter responded, as Lavaria said, well, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And remember what he said of who revealed that to him?
Yeah. The Spirit, the Father.
That's right. He said it was from the Father that revealed that through the Spirit. That's how he knew. But yet Peter didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in him. But yet even though we have confirmed evidence that the Spirit of God was working and did reveal things like that specific fact to Peter, later on in Matthew chapter 16, another event happened where when you read it, you can come to the clear conclusion that it was not the Spirit of God that was putting those thoughts or ideas or convictions into Peter's mind. Read with me in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it. Lord, this shall never happen to you. Lavarius, what was Jesus' response in verse 23?
Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.
That's right. The problem is in his mind. What was he setting his mind on? It wasn't the things of God. It was a work contrary to God. Now, was it the Spirit of God that was leading him to do that?
No.
No. But we know the enemy leads people to deceive, to distort. Peter's probably thinking that's a positive thing. Well, I'm preventing Jesus from dying. But yet remember, when all the 12 and the 70, and they were sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near, and preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins, they weren't going around proclaiming Jesus had to die. You see, the full totality of that message and the revealing of the administration of the gospel was not fully revealed even to them. They were preaching and proclaiming partiality, things of which they did not fully understand. That's why they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit yet. It was all part of God's timing to be done after Pentecost. But unless you slow down and you go through and you do a careful study and let God's word instruct you and not presume, because Peter presumed. Peter presumed that, no, it would be very bad for Jesus to die. And yet he didn't know he was going against God's will. Now, when you look at this, I want to turn back to, I'm convicted to go to Ephesians. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is just an example of, again, the different spirit that is working in someone's life. Right? Because if we don't discern the difference or understand the difference or realize for some people that you've never even been freed and have come into the full experience and totality of the Spirit, but even if you have it, that doesn't mean you're insulated from this. Because as Jesus warned, look at the seven churches. How did five of the seven go astray in Revelation? Do you think it was the Spirit of God? No, they actually had the Spirit of God. It was deception, the work of the enemy, the spirit of the devil. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read through this and I'll ask some questions. So, in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he says, and you were being dead and your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What spirit was working in these saints previously? In Ephesus?
Spirit of what, before?
Yeah, came into the truth.
Yeah.
Satan, the evil one.
Yeah, the evil one. Satan is the prince of power of this air until Jesus comes and takes it back at his second coming. Satan was working to deceive them. In verse 3, Paul acknowledges, among them we too all formerly lived, previous life, doing, verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the desires of the flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's when they were formerly still struggling with the flesh and living according to it. Now, some people like to say that they can have both natures today, even though Jesus clearly said you can't serve two masters. Now, you men all know that because you experience the freedom. But unfortunately, there's still many people that are still slaves of that. And Lavarius will have to have you give your testimony of when God got a hold of you and how he just changed your life and the difference. You know, the people that just don't want to believe in the impossible work of God. They'll pick and choose what impossible works they'll believe, but not all of it. And Ephesians chapter 6, again, just highlighting who our warfare is against. Because a lot of this, again, when you look at discernment and understanding what spirit is speaking, what thoughts are in your mind. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about a warfare. If someone will read chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 12. David, Ephesians chapter 6.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against their powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Okay, so when we look at that, the warfare. Who ultimately is the warfare against?
The devil.
The devil. So it tells us that we're to be aware of that, we're to be strong. We're to put on the full armor so that we can stand firm against what again, Braden? The devil's what?
Schemes.
The devil's schemes. His trickery. He's the great deceiver. He is a master deceiver. He deceived Peter to try to stand against Christ and going to the cross. We're going to find out other deceptions. We might have to go into part two, but we'll do it. We'll go right into a part two. We'll end it and, we'll look at Abraham because I really want to look at the Abraham example. So as you continue to look again in verse 12, he reiterates, our warfare is against world forces of darkness. It's against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavens. This is a warfare. And of course, to win that, you have to take up the full armor of God. And by taking the full armor of God, is that so that you can fail in these trials and struggles, Lavarius? Or is it so that we're to have a different result when you look at verse 13?
I think it would be to have a different result to overcome. In verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So I would think with the armor of God, you will be able to overcome in a day of evil, simply put.
That's right. Now, some people, if you look at it, I just want to point out verse 19. Even Paul says, pray on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Now, didn't Paul know the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Did he not already preach it to them? Is he not continuing to preach it all throughout, you know, Asia and through that area?
Yes.
He was. Why does he ask to say, I need words to speak, if he already knew it? Because God knows what each person needs to hear. God knows what deception is in people's minds and hearts. It's just like when I go and I evangelize, and you guys have heard many times when I go before the Father, ask him specifically. Now, he used to give me direct answers a lot more. He would tell me, you need to address this doctrinal issue with this person. It's a stumbling block. Now, as God's continued to grow, as he is working to grow all of us, he desires that we use discernment and to understand the convictions as he gives them, so that we can work through that and engage directly, even if we don't have the gift of prophecy. And so, again, that's, you know, another application of making sure we're listening. But do you have to make sure you're listening to the right voice? Or you could go off and engage someone and have a different discussion on a point that you believe is a stumbling block, but it's actually not for that person. And there's no conviction of what it is, of where that person's lacking the power. And they can't put their finger on it. Because the devil just simply wants you to have a conversation with someone where you all agree, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died for our sins so that we can have forgiveness of sins. It's only through Christ that we have access to the Father, you know, through faith. And just continue to focus on the things of the agreement, but skip and ignore the critical things of why there's no power. A couple other things with discernment. This is all kind of laying the foundation of the groundwork as we get ready to look at, like, the example of Abraham. In 2 Corinthians, and again, it kind of this similar thing about this spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Braden, if you will read in this part the this warfare that we're fighting against, and we'll just read starting at the very beginning of chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 5.
Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Okay. So in this case, again, it's an acknowledgement that it's a spiritual war. Now, you men all know that. I mean, we pray about it. We talk about it. We read through it in Scripture. We discuss with the Father about it, and how to faithfully serve and walk as our Lord Jesus did. You know, in the same warfare that he, the apostles, and previous people have been warring all these years. But it's a war. And one of the things is, just as the devil seeks to put thoughts into people's minds to deceive them or get them astray or to tempt or to test, just like he did with Christ, Christ did this. He took the thought, the speculation and arguments that the devil was waging, that was against the knowledge of God, although the devil tries to spin it. And he said, no, depart, flee. And he quoted scripture. This is something that we have to do. As you guys have heard, the Father said repeatedly, many, many times, he will not give any conviction or prophecy against the principles of his word. And so much of what is can be discerned is by going and testing everything back to scripture. And everybody has scripture. It should be the test that every single person does. And as we go through this episode, we'll probably share, you know, some of the struggles that some of our brothers in Kenya had. And praise God, they've worked through that. But again, it's a deception. And how when we discussed how some of the flags were raised when we realized some of the convictions that they had and their discernment that they shared with us, we realized that it was from the enemy. Because there was some contradiction in God's word.
So,
but that will be for part two. So I just want to highlight that passage. Again, focusing on this, you know, what are we doing with our mind? So with that, I think that might be a good place to stop here. We're a little over 30 minutes. And so we'll close in prayer and then we'll pick up right after this in a part two. Braden, would you like to close us in prayer?
Father, thank you for this time we've had to go through your word and look at, you know, being to look at how dangerous presumption can really be for someone's spiritual walk. Please just continue to show us your word. Please open the eyes of those who are listening and show them your truth as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.